You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to the next episode of Sexistential Crisis. I am your host. Dave and I just got in a fight before the show, which is why he's laughing.
There's a show called Save It for the Show for a reason, and I suck at it. So
Yeah, right. So basically, Dave is doing the show, but we're not recording any of the show.
Because we're just sitting here bantering and babbling, and it's
we're just chatting, you know, having a good old time. Dave, it's so great to be back here at the Detroit Shipping Company.
I still love this place.
It's really cool. I encourage Detroiters to come here. It's in Midtown. This is secured parking, I'm pretty sure. And
oh, and they're like, they're neurotic about it. There are, I think, five or six security guys on staff at all times.
Yeah, because this area used to be like pretty sketch.
Oh, yeah. There was just an incident over the weekend. Crackhead tried to like shake down one of the female chefs that works down there. It did not end well for him. As it shouldn't have. But yeah, no, I do. I seriously like, and the food, like I said, with whether I, my personal favorite is still Bangkok 96. I mean, if you like Thai spicy food at all, go.
Okay. All right. That's enough of a promo for these fuckers.
Okay.
But yes, go. I would check it out. Okay. So wait a minute. We need to follow up from something that happened last week.
Okay.
At the end of our last show, I mentioned that the guy who had ghosted me was hosting trivia downstairs.
Yes.
And then we went down with our guest for a drink.
It was the funniest thing ever. Like, I don't even know if I told you this because I was trying to wrap stuff up before I bailed.
What?
So you walked, you were right behind me as we were walking downstairs.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I watched him make eye contact with me.
Yes.
Make eye contact, or at least look at you. I don't know if he made eye contact. I don't know if you were looking at him. And then go back to staring at his laptop. And for the rest, probably here for another, what, half hour, 45 minutes, we were at the bar.
Right.
I walked right by him as I walked to the bathroom, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Never looked up from his laptop. Not once. Like, even when the trivia game was going on, he was head down, card in hand, reading, making sure not to look around the room. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Awkward.
That was for him.
Yeah. I was pretty awesome for me. I had a great time. But it's, I love how things always just come full circle.
You know what? If you karma isn't always the fastest train, but it gets there.
Choo choo.
Exactly.
You know, it is. It is also Tuesday night again.
It is. Oh, that's right. So he's probably gonna be downstairs again.
He'll probably
phenomenal. Even better.
The look on your face. Do we have a camera trained on you?
No, they're all facing out.
Sucks. Okay. So today's episode, I was sort of humming and hawing over what I wanted to talk about. And I realize I want to dig into, I guess, what I'm calling the big girl's guide to dating, because I know so many plus sized women or even thin women. It actually really doesn't matter. Women who feel like I'm too fat to date, I'm too old to date. Nobody will like this body that I'm in. I'm too ugly. It, you know, I can't have sex with, I don't know, an ass and a stomach or thighs or whatever it may be. And they just opt out of dating. And I'm really, damn.
Have they never met guys?
I know.
Like, guy, number, okay, first of all, and I'm not, let me be clear, I'm not saying lower your standards and just go out and be a slut and get laid by anybody. I'm just saying.
But you could.
You can. That's because that's the thing. That's, I think that is actually one of the advantages that women have over men
in
today's society.
Yeah, women can do that at any
point. Guys, no matter how badly we want to get laid, we are relying on someone to put up with our bullshit and go with it. I don't know a woman, and I don't, like, and I women of all shapes, sizes, whatever. I don't know a woman who is not capable of walking into any random bar, any random spot, and walking out. I'll put the over under at 45 minutes to an hour with a dude ready to do whatever she wants to do, however she wants it done.
Yeah. Well, right. And I always say that. I often say, and my women friends look at me kind of both in disbelief and awe. And I always walk in and I say, I can go into this bar and any single eligible guy I can get.
Duh.
And I really do.
Have you seen your tits? I mean, just.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's like a double whip. You want tits or ass? I got both. Like, which one do you want? Like, the guy I'm dating now, he's an ass man. Great. I got plenty of that.
Perfect.
You know, other people like tits. Great. But I think women don't believe in their own power and even the power of.
No, by and large, no.
Right. And so men take advantage of it.
Well, because in many cases, they've been trained not to.
Right.
You know, it's the, you know, whether it's the, you know, bullshit, you know, fake standards of beauty that are out there or the, you know, here's what I see on TV. Here's what I see in magazines. Here's what I see in this. Here's what I see in that. Like there, I don't know. I do not know. Well, it's not true. I know two. I don't know many guys that are into girls who look like 10-year-old boys. I don't.
Well, you know two guys.
One of two guys that are.
So that's great. So for girls who look like 10-year-old boys, there's some guys.
They're out there. I've hardly ever seen any of my female friends where guys have been like, nope.
Right. Exactly.
And I go to comic cons. Like half the weekends of the year, I'm not hanging with supermodels. Like, and don't get me wrong, the my female friends, a lot of them are insanely attractive, and a lot of them are attractive in their own right. A mm-hmm. lot of them, it's, you know, and that's the thing, you know, like you were just saying, you know, some of it is, dude, some guys are really into eyes. Some dudes are really into feet. Some dudes are really into, you know, some guys are boob guys. Some guys are ass guys. What? Some guys are hair. It's, you know, whatever.
Right.
Find that guy.
Exactly.
Like whatever you, because there's a part of you you're happy with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the first person who I've said this forever. By the time I was 15, I accepted the fact I was never going to be roguish. I was never going to be dashing. None of that nonsense. So I cultivated the personality. So
which is really one of your strongest assets.
And so I find like I'm
and
not,
it's very attractive.
I'm not in it, but so that's the I'm not in it for the quick hit.
Right.
Like I play the long game.
Dave, you really do. I can sense that about you. I can totally pick that up from you. Here's one thing that happened to me. So you imagine, I just like to say, imagine the part of your body that you hate.
Right.
There is a guy who likes that.
Yep.
I was shocked. Last year, I was chatting with this guy that I met online, and we had a great initial connection. Which torpedoed the minute we met, and he told me he actually just wanted a traveling sex buddy. But, right.
Okay.
Yeah, that didn't work. But prior to that, he was a really wonderful guy to talk to and get to know. And one of the things he told me before we met, which shocked me, is I hate my thighs. I've hated them.
Okay.
I have, you know, we have an impression in our mind that things are like 1,000 times bigger than they actually appear,
right,
or ugly, or, you know, whatever. And this guy said to me, he said, Laura, this may sound a little odd. And I was like, okay. And he said, but, you know, I am very attracted to women with strong thighs. And I was like, I couldn't believe it.
Okay.
I never heard that before. And it completely help me to shift this part of my body that I never liked, you know, and I always thought were like the quote unquote thunder thighs. And
right.
I just hated that. And I realized, wait a minute, someone else out there can appreciate the beauty of this
mm-hmm.
on my body. Why can't I appreciate that? And so that really just like switched things for me. So,
you know, you got to look at the positives. I mean, odds are good. Can't hear you screaming when I'm going down on you.
You know, here's some... Did anyone... Was that a muffle? Anyone? Hello? I can also crush your head like a watermelon.
Hey, there you go.
If you misbehave.
Some guys are into that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty... That's pretty amazing. I do this exercise. So wait, I want to... First, before I get to the exercise, I want to talk about what you mentioned. What was the statement you mentioned before we started recording? You have to love yourself.
Oh no! So, well, you have to be comfortable with yourself, and you have to be, you've got to be like, basically in your right frame of mind with you before you have any business getting into a relationship at all.
Completely.
Just period, end of story. Because like if you're not comfortable hanging on the couch with, you know, whatever, you know, having Netflix question you, are you still watching?
Right.
You know, that, and you're not happy doing that, mm-hmm. someone else isn't going to make you happy. Like, because then you're just trying to find, what is it, the external locus of your happiness.
Right.
You know, you have to have it internally before you can ever find it externally.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think that also I often feel like the external world and what we see is really a reflection of what's going on inside of us.
So, oh, absolutely. Projection is a huge thing.
Yeah. So projection, exactly. So like if you really hate your body or if you really feel like you don't deserve to be in a relationship, you will continue to find ways and reasons and people to affirm.
Oh, you will self-destruct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, instead of the guy giving you a subtle looking a wink at the mm-hmm. bar, you'll think he's side-eyeing you.
Exactly.
Because he's mocking you.
He's giving me shade. He's laughing at me.
Or the, you know, that little giggle that should be flirtatious, suddenly now they're mocking you.
Exactly.
You know, or they're laughing about you instead of near you, you know, whatever. So, yeah, oh, that's absolutely true.
Yeah, and so I think people sabotage themselves. What I want to tell women, and especially women that have sort of low self-confidence in this area, is learn as you're learning to love and embrace your body. And that can even mean like getting up naked in the mirror in the morning and just like hugging yourself. I know that sounds like kind of woo woo and stuff, but
a little bit.
Well, yeah, it does. But
a little hippie-ish.
It is. Well, look, I mean, look who you're talking to. Okay. Like this is the woman who like wants to meet the next guy to do like 6 hours of tantra with me. So yeah, I am. Also, I'm looking for you. Where are you?
Applications can be mailed to
the Detroit Shipping Company, care of Podcast Detroit, or whatever. Yeah. I really feel like most women won't even look at their bodies in the mirror. They won't even look at
nope.
themselves.
Vast majority won't.
So go look at yourself and find something you like. And also remember, in dating, when I see women who are insecure about dating, you know what they do, Dave? They chase men.
Oh, yeah.
Do not chase men.
That, I think that's, well, so how does that fit in though? Because
we've
had this talk. I'm the old school Italian guy. And so the guy should always be pursuing.
Well, in the beginning.
In the beginning.
There was man and there was woman. No, in the beginning, the man has to demonstrate he is worth your time.
Okay, totally.
Not that I am worth his time. I am worth his time because I have a pussy and I have brains. And I'm worth his time.
Right.
Period. That's what women are. We're like God's gift to the planet. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not arguing.
Right. So it is up to, you've got to switch the tables instead of like, I've got to go find a man. I've got to find. Allow men to come to you
mm-hmm.
and reveal themselves through their actions. And I think that men that are always interested will always show you they're interested. And men that aren't interested, men that just like want someone to talk to on the internet because they're bored, will also reveal that they're dudes on the internet who have mm-hmm. nothing else to do but stare, like watch Netflix and mm-hmm. talk to some woman for an immediate hit of attention.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, so, but is that, because I always feel old when these conversations come up. Like,
we are old.
I know.
But, also, we're old.
Like, does that exist in today's society, though?
Yes.
Like, have things, but has it? Because you've gone, like, I don't even know that dating really exists anymore. I mean, in our age bracket, yeah. A lot of my 20-something friends.
What are they doing?
It's almost like when we were teenagers. Like they're going places in groups. Like it's like hey, let's all like we'll have your friends and my friends and we'll meet at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Like hey, we'll have your friends and my friends
what?
And we'll meet at the bar.
And then what?
And then it's like a group hangout and
okay.
It's almost like you're each auditioning for the other's
okay,
group.
That sounds like a fear of intimacy to me.
But that's a giant symptom of what that is, but that's extremely prevalent right now. There's so much of that going on.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I do believe that the type of dating I am talking about exists at all age brackets. I don't think it necessarily, even at, you know, I'm 38. I don't think it necessarily exists in, you know, huge abundance at my age.
Right.
But it does exist. And it's a matter for me of raising the bar to say, that's what I'm looking for. And anything else, I'm not really going to be a part of.
Well, and that gets into the whole, you're comfortable being by yourself.
Right.
And that's okay. Like, you know, it's, well, it's, you know, one of the things I mentioned earlier as well is that I, throughout my whole life, I've been a serial monogamist, always. You know, just because I'm better in a relationship. I'm insanely self-destructive when I'm single. Mm. I'm dumb. And so, like, there are people that, like, I'm one of those people that almost needs that. I mean, now, luckily, I've gotten to the point in my life where I have not that exact thing, but I have a lot of that grounding that I need in my peer group, in my friends.
Right.
Where I don't know that a lot of 20-somethings really have that. They think they do, mm-hmm. but... like, I guarantee you, like, 20-somethings have never sat around and had all of the deep, insane-ass conversations that, like, Bob and I have had over a bottle of scotch.
Yeah. No, legit. Like, there is an amazing power in friendships. Mm-hmm. My roommate, her name is Amy Sacca. You can go look her up on Instagram. She is doing a project right now on the roommates that live in our house.
Okay.
And you can look up Amy Sacca, or you can look up hashtag roommates after 40.
Okay.
And Amy is about to turn 43, and it's all about her experiment with having women in the house. It's not really an experiment. It's more she's doing it because it helps support her financially.
Right.
But she's turned it into this art project. And you know what? It's really great. I love living with these women.
That's very cool.
And in fact, I like it so much that I said to her the other day, I said, listen, any guy I would choose to live with, the situation would have to be better than this.
It's true.
It would have to be better because this is really good. So what? And I don't fight with people. You know, we get along great. We occasionally have dinner together. We talk about our lives. You're going to have to bring...
right.
Something more to the table
right.
than that.
Yeah, this you know? Is what I – well, and I mean, and that's – I mean, that's kind of how it should be. Like, again, if I'm perfectly happy sitting on my couch with Hulu bugging me every 4 hours, hey, are
yeah.
you still watching
are you alive?
Season 4 of Archer? Really? Are you, don't judge me. Click. you know, if I'm content with that – and by and large, like, I – it doesn't take much for me to revert to hermit status. Like I know I have like this whole
your super
networking group
persona.
Yada 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 persona. My inner Sheldon comes out strong sometimes, and it doesn't take much for me to revert to that. And so yeah, like you've got to offer me something that's better than couch,
right?
And comfy
because
and happy.
That's really happy for
yeah.
you. Yeah. So if it's going to be better than that, great.
Right.
Otherwise. I think
why
people
bother?
Why bother? And I think people are chasing a fantasy of what relationships can be. I've been divorced.
It's all Disney's fault.
I think it's all the church's fault, honestly. I've been divorced. I know
yeah,
you've
me
been
too.
Divorced.
Yeah.
And you realize once you're in a relationship, in a long-term relationship, look at your friends who are married for like more than 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It is not pretty.
So, and it's, well, and it's because I do. I there are two of Dave's universal laws.
Okay,
that,
here we go.
That tend to apply. Dave's universal law number three, which is that which initially attracts you to someone will eventually make you want to kill them. My ex loved that I was the social butterfly, the life of the party, outgoing, For whatever reason, and this gets into Dave's universal law number four, men marry women praying to God that they never change. Women marry men expecting that they will. And so she assumed that I was going to go full hermit after we got married.
Mm.
Like I wasn't going – like do you even
Has
know,
she met you?
Oh, here's – Laura, here's – do you understand the foundation of everything that Bob and I have built literally comes down to my ex-wife – and him and I coming up with an excuse for he and I to go drinking that she couldn't bitch about. That was DetroitNet. That's how IT and the D started.
Right. And now you own a brewery. And so like you're not slowing down.
like that's – so that's literally how that started, was because she like just hated all my friends, everything about it, and just like just thought I was going to be on lockdown. But no. So I mean that's – and I think that's really true. It's unfortunate, but that tends to be reality.
And I want to say I'm not anti-marriage or anti-long-term relationship
at all. No, it works for you, great.
But I do think you need to have your own life and your own shit going on, just like your partner does.
Married life has to be concentric circles, not overlapping.
Ooh.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Or else you're doomed. Because again, if you're trying to find your entire essence of being in someone else, you are empty by definition.
Yep.
If you have nothing in you that's keeping you full on your own, you're going to be miserable.
And also,
period. End of story.
What the fuck do you have to give anyone? Like, if you don't have anything inside of you, you have nothing to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably why, I don't know, I think that's probably why a lot of people get really devastated after certain breakups.
Mm-hmm.
And they just can't, like, pick themselves back up
mm-hmm.
because they've put all their worth into someone else validating their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, that's just not going to work. Okay, so I want to talk briefly about what to wear on dates.
Okay.
Women, listen closely. Any fucking thing you want that makes you feel like a sexy goddess.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you feel beautiful at any size, at any age, doesn't matter. If you feel beautiful in whatever you're wearing, that is going to like come off of you and everybody is going to notice it.
It's
going
to shine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Period.
Like, and if you're wearing the sexiest dress on the planet, but you feel embarrassed and you want to cover yourself up and you feel like shit in it and you feel like you don't want anyone to look at you,
that's going
to
show too.
Yeah, that exactly. So it's not about, you know, having to hide things. You don't have to hide your body.
Well, it doesn't have to be the most revealing thing either.
And, yeah, and it doesn't have to be. Yeah, exactly. It can be whatever you feel sexy, beautiful, confident
mm-hmm.
and amazing in, because then you're going to go on the date and the guy's going to be like, holy shit. This woman has really got her stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
Look at her rocking whatever she's got on.
I had probably better step up my game.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I'm out.
Or someone else will. I mean,
right.
and that's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, no, you shouldn't always, you know, it's almost like, you know, like networking. We always talk about this with IT and the D and the networking events and that kind of stuff. Like, be present mm-hmm. where you are. Like, be there for the conversation you're having, not looking past the person to see who else is in the room.
Oh my God.
And so it's the same thing with dating. Like, yeah, especially in the early stages, always keep your options open.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you should be a moron about it and don't lose something good that you have because you think something might be better.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the grass is greener on the other side because you're not there screwing it up. Mm-hmm. And you need someone willing to put up with your neuroses and psychoticness to actually stay around. Like, that's reality. Like, because again, especially not in my 20s anymore, we've all got baggage.
Yeah.
Some of it matches. Some of it doesn't. Some of it might have fluids leaking out of it. You know, I mean, it's not pretty.
That's time for an STD check.
Well, I'm just saying. Okay, I said baggage, not bag.
Dave has a real problem.
It might be a body. But no, so I mean, it's. Like, that's one of the things is, and I do it, it makes me laugh. Like, I, it's almost like everybody goes into job interview mode when it comes to dating.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've never had a bad job experience. I've never had a bad relationship. I've never had. You know,
really?
No, but people go into that mode where it's.
Who are you trying to fool?
You're putting your fake book self out
yeah.
there. Cause it's not Facebook. It's fake book.
Right.
You're putting the fake book version of you out there when. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish at the end of the day? Like, it's – that's why, like, I'm sure, like, you know, from, like, you know, meeting people online mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. You know, some guy tells you that he's got a 10-inch dick. Eventually, you're going to meet him.
Right.
And eventually, you're going to find out
he
probably doesn't. Like, what's your end game there, partner? Like, what?
Where'd you think this was going?
Yeah, so you were lying, hoping to get her into bed where you would – where she'd find out that – You're packing a peanut, not a schwant. Anyway, yeah, so
well,
like that's
here's the thing. I am very suspicious of men on. I mean, I don't date women, but maybe women do this too. I'm very suspicious of men on dates who say, I am just bringing my worst self to the date. Like, I have had two guys tell me this. They're like, you know what? I'm not going to dress up for the date. I'm not going to do anything fancy because I just want you to see me as I am. And you know what? In every single one of those cases, that was not their worst. It got a lot worse. It got a lot worse. And I was like, oh, so what you're actually telling me, what they're actually saying is, I don't want to court you. I don't want to work to court you. And that's really what I'm telling you. So, like, take it or leave it. That's what I didn't realize. And I was like, now I realize that. I'm like, oh, you don't want to court me. Okay, got it. You just want me to show up and fuck
and,
you?
And or, be in awe of yeah, no.
Your amazing ability to use...
to rock a hockey jersey.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's really impressive. Yeah. I'm fucking dripping wet right now. This is unbelievable. I see it.
So glad I'm not wearing a hockey jersey today.
I was going to say, and Dave's wearing a hockey jersey. I need to go take care of myself right now. Yeah.
But no, I mean, it is. I mean, and that's, you know, and I do think that goes along with it. Like, you know, yeah, no, you don't have to go overboard. Like, nobody's saying go out and rent a tux. Nobody's saying, you know, don't go out. You don't have to go out and buy a new cocktail dress or whatever else.
But don't lie.
But take a minute.
Yeah.
Dude, like, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with, like, I would be, worst case scenario, like what I'm wearing right now, like a collared shirt, jeans. I always have at least one sport coat.
You always have a sports coat.
I do. And yeah. I mean, so, you know, worst case scenario, I'm ready. I've also got like a pair of shorts in my car. I've also, you know what, because I never know where the day is going to take me. And so, you know what, we're going to go hit this cocktail hour power thing, but then cool, I'm throwing a jacket on. This is me.
Right.
You know, it's, but I'm still throwing a jacket on.
Yeah, which is you kind of cleaned up.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm saying is try a little bit, because women are trying.
Mm-hmm.
So try a little bit.
If you've never watched the process of a woman shaving their legs, for the guys, if we had to do this.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying.
Like, I don't even know. Like, the world would end because we don't have the patience for this.
You would
nonsense.
Not believe what I have to do or what I choose to do to get ready for a date when I know I'm going to have sex.
Oh, I there's a process.
Yeah,
there I'm is quite a sure there is, and I'm pretty sure you're flexible as hell and damn near a contortionist because I've seen what goes on, and it's impressive.
Well, okay, so here's what I do.
I mean, clarify, not with you and specifically. I haven't seen, but
oh, right, yeah. We have to clarify, right? Not with me, but you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So I always shave my legs.
Mm-hmm.
If I need. I don't know what the fuck is going on with me. I'm just going to put this out there. I am growing. I'm like growing a beard.
Okay.
It is. If I did not wax my like upper lip and pluck hairs out of my chin, I would have a fucking goatee.
It happened.
I don't know why this is happening. It's like with age, women get hairier or something.
In some cases, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so that all has to be taken
right.
care of. Then, of course, now, I do not shave the pussy region.
Okay.
Because I don't like the stubble.
That's always the worst part.
Right.
Like, it's not in the moment. It's like a day and a half
yeah,
later.
Yeah, it's like, and I don't like that at all. So I use an epilator, which is... basically a little machine with 100 tweezers on it.
Dude.
Well, I don't use it everywhere. Are you okay?
Like, ow.
Well, yeah, but you know what we go through. I mean, it...
Beauty is pain.
I would say I do, like, bikini, like...
Gotcha.
This, like, you know, like, sides area and just kind of, like, trim things
right.
up so it's not a jungle.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be, like, scary movie. You don't want to... Yeah.
What is that?
There was a I think it was the first scary movie, where it was like a spoof of, you know, two teenagers going to the room to finally have sex. He talks her into having sex, gets her panties off, and you would have thought that like Angela Davis like popped out.
Surprise.
And he ran out of the room and like came back with a
no,
weed whacker.
That's ridiculous. No, that's completely out of control. I also would not, if I were a man, I would not want to fuck like a 10-year-old girl. Like, I feel like there has to be some hair.
There's a
there.
Happy medium.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Clean enough that they're not going to, like, choke on your pubic hair when they're going down on you. Okay. Fine. Then I do a full body scrub.
Okay.
With like, an exfoliating, a rough exfoliating, like, scrub that you'd use in the shower to just make my skin extra soft. Yeah. I did this all this morning.
Seeing guys, we like, really?
Yes, I did.
No, so like, and guys will like hop in the shower for 10 minutes.
And just pray to God it like
and just,
washes
hey,
away.
Yeah.
Do guys, what's the deal with, how do men shave their pubic? Do they shave it?
Some, yeah. I actually got into this conversation with a couple of friends.
What are they
what the hell was it called? Manscaped Monday was the topic of conversation. You know, some guys use just like electric clippers.
Electric just, clippers?
Well, so like the like beard trimmers, that kind of
that
stuff.
That can't cut you?
Oh, God, no. No, because there's clipper guards and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's no different than like, I mean, like when you go get your hair done, like those clippers, you know, they put different guards on for different lengths and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
There's different lengths and that kind of stuff for beard trimmers. Which just then get repurposed. And then, yeah, there are some guys that do the whole, like, you know, lather up, shave, clean thing. And, you, like, 10-year-old boy, whatever. Although the argument I heard for that is that it does increase stimulation.
Really?
Like it, it – yeah.
They even shave their balls?
Well, yeah. So it's one of those things where, I mean, well, I mean, if you think about it, so, I mean, just from an evolutionary perspective, like the hair is there for like warmth, you know, and like if you're wearing a jacket and somebody pokes you in the arm, you don't necessarily feel it as much as if you take the jacket off and then somebody pokes you in the arm. So, yeah.
I mean, that would be a lot of hair. That, you're talking about a lot of hair,
It depends on the dude. I mean, we're not all Ron Jeremy.
A lot of hair. It's a lot of it's too much. It's too. We got it. You remember, like Robin Williams.
God
rest his soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too much. Too much hair. Okay. Well, Dave, I don't know. Were you going to tell us something about your dating advice from PenguinCon? PenguinCon, or did you already?
No, it's PenguinCon.
PenguinCon.
Well, no. So it was, like I said, Bob and I got roped in. This was a couple years ago, being on the panel called Flirting for Geeks. And apparently, I don't know, because Bob and I have actually managed to have women put up with us throughout lives.
Right.
And so the
and wait a minute. Let's just describe. You're both. How would you? I don't know how to.
Dude, we're both middle-aged white dudes married.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. I mean.
Like we're not.
You're not supermodels.
Nope. No. Right. Not biologically. Again, by the time I was 15, I already wasn't going to be roguish. Wasn't going to be dashing. Personality. What it's all about. Long game.
Yeah.
But no, so we did this Flirting for Geeks panel, and it was hilarious because it was literally this exact same conversation. And like, I think a lot of the geeks that were there were like expecting some like magic bullet for stuff. And it was literally, dude, just, you know, be yourself, like be okay with being yourself and then find your other, like, especially, and here's the thing, like, especially in that environment, it was like, okay, kids, like half the work is already done for you. Like, you know, you're in an environment, you're in a target rich environment.
These people share your interests.
There are fellow nerds. Now, all of it, you're in a, like, you're instead of the big Venn diagram of life, now you're in the little Venn diagram of nerd.
Right.
Now you just have to find out where the other, okay, are they sci-fi nerds? Are they these nerds? Are they these? But also, and I do, I recommend everybody check out PenguinCon, just because the other panels that were going on, I mean, the intro to BDSM, you know, not
what,
tying
when
101.
Is this?
It's the first weekend of May, I believe, in 2019. So ways away. But no, the Roomba, it's what I'm saying. So it's become part Linux, which is how it started, part sci-fi, part Comic-Con, part cosplay. And then, like I said, the After Dark tracks kick in and it's like part BDSM, part polyamory.
But like, that's kind of cool.
There was a panel on like how to talk your wife into an open relationship or how to talk about that and that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting. And then some of the after parties are, I'm not going to lie, they're straight up nerd orgies. It's just a thing. Like the best, so we get done with Flirting for Geeks, and Bob and I are walking over to the bar to grab a drink because it's us, it's what we do. And this really attractive woman stops us and she's like, you know, you guys were really great. I'm going to be getting naked and lit on fire in my my room later. Do you guys want to come? And like, it was almost one of those like 80s sitcom moments. Like, I look at Bob, Bob looks at me. She goes, yeah, we're going to be there.
Yeah.
And she did. She, okay. She got in, and it was the whole like rubbing alcohol and tongs yes. and fire. And it was,
yes,
it was interesting.
I've seen that. Actually, that reminds me of a special event that Sexistential Crisis will be at.
Yes, yes.
On September 22nd. Dave, I don't know if you're going to be hanging out with us or what's going on.
Oh, I'll be floating around.
You'll be floating around. We are going.
I'll be sightseeing.
Yeah. What, do you remember the name of this thing?
It is the Liquid Red Kinkball Detroit.
I have never, and we're going to be broadcasting mm-hmm. from this event. We will then turn that into a podcast, but you could listen live.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to. Did I just call you Bob?
I don't think so.
Okay. I can't. Oh, God, I get you too confused. All right. Dave told me before, he said, you should get there early and go find people to sort of like pull into the podcast. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what people are going to be wearing or doing. I don't think I've been to a kink ball before.
You know, and
so
honestly,
I don't know what we're getting into.
So here's the thing. Like, so because we are, I mean, Podcast Detroit is sponsoring it, or we're sponsoring a part of it. And like when I had talked to them about it, because like, you know, a friend of a friend is involved, and I was like, look, I said, so, you know, like we started this to help give people a voice. And whether you realize it, like whether people know it or not, like the BDSM community is probably more frowned upon, more shunned, more on lockdown than nearly any other segment of society. Mm. Like it's like, it, you know, it's okay to be gay. It's okay to be this. It's okay to be that. It's not okay to want to have a leather hood on and be spanked. Like it's just not a thing.
Right.
And so you'd be surprised, like if you, especially being like, I figured, especially with us having sponsored it, so like our logo is going to be there and like, and our gear will be there and that kind of stuff. People want to talk about what they're into.
Mm.
Doesn't matter what it is. People love to talk about what they're interested in. And so this is something that outside of events like this, a lot of people don't get to talk about.
Right. And
so once you tap that vein.
Yeah. They wanna, yeah. It's amazing. It's actually amazing to me how many people in Detroit seem so straight-laced and are actually poly or BDSM or kinky things. In fact,
you'll see a lot of masks. I assure you.
Yes.
You will see a lot of masks.
Well, I have to tell you, I have a friend who recently revealed to me that they're poly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, cool. And also mentioned to me that they have seen my dating profile. And that was really like, it kind of shocked me because I never would have clicked on them because they don't show their face.
Right.
So I had no idea. So my point is, you do not know.
Nope.
Who is doing what? Because people often don't feel safe to talk about it.
And that, exactly. Because it, you know, it does. It, and I do. I hate the words because college kids friggin' ruin it. But I mean, it's an event like that that truly becomes a safe space.
Yeah.
For people in that community. Because again, you're not in the big Venn diagram of life. You're in the little Venn diagram of, okay, everybody in this room, by and large, because you do at stuff like that. I mean, you've been to the Dirty Show, stuff like that. There's always tourists.
Right, right, right.
There's always people that have no
intention of getting involved.
But they want to be looky-loos. And, you know, whatever, that's fine.
I think that's okay. I think that's okay if you want to dip your toe in it and you're like, what the fuck is this about? Right?
But yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, but you know, by and large, like it is. So like without, you know, it takes an event like that for them to feel comfortable talking with people about what they're doing. And you will. I mean, you'll, I mean, I haven't been to this one, you know, but from what I've heard, I mean, you'll see or be able to talk with, because I mean, like people don't even understand how wide the BDSM mm-hmm. spectrum is. And like just some random conversations that I've had with people. I'm trying to remember, I finally found my nope moment?
I don't remember. What was your nope?
Dollification.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, like,
we talked about that one or two episodes ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's, and that's one of those, like, but it's one of those, like, hey, it's for you. Cool.
That's
not my thing.
Well, I love this because in our next episode, Dave, I actually have a professional dominatrix.
Yay.
I cannot wait. So, we are like building up the kink factor. I cannot wait. First of all, I can't wait because one, she's going to do kink 101 with us. It's going to be great. tune into that. And but I think for the time being, that's kind of all I got. Do you have any parting words?
No. I mean, like I said, I mean, more than anything else, it does. I mean, and it's amazing how no matter how much the audience changes, the message stays consistent. Mm-hmm. It is. It just figure out you.
Right. And if a person doesn't want to be with you, don't take
fuck
that. As, yeah. Don't do that. Well, as
a, don't fuck them.
Rick, don't definitely don't. Do not fuck them. But do not do as I've done.
Move on.
Yeah. And realize that's actually good for you to know. And it's actually good for you to know that sooner rather than later. You know, don't waste your time hoping somebody is going to finally like you enough. There are tons of people who will like you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best experiments I did earlier this year is for my friends that know me, it was I would go to this bar by my house. Mm-hmm. It became my local, and I would just go sit there and try to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I jokingly called it, Amy told me to go to the bar to meet men, because my friend Amy did tell me, why don't you just go to the bar to meet men? So I thought, okay, I will. And sometimes I would meet cool people that like I had an attraction to, but there was nothing really there.
Right.
Sometimes I just meet really cool people and that were women that were, you know, anyone.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. Platonic, doesn't matter. And I realized in the act of doing that, you really get over your fear of going out alone as a woman, sitting at a bar, talking to a stranger. And now I don't want to say I'm like, I've completely killed that fear. I still have that fear.
Yeah.
But it's way diminished than what it used to be when I would have been way too scared to do it. Now I'm just like, okay, cool. I can go do that. And then I kind of like, even if I meet a guy or don't meet a guy, I'm improving myself
mm-hmm.
through the process. So it's a win.
Well, and that's the thing. It's okay. It's you gotta practice. No matter what, whatever you're trying to be good at, you gotta practice. You're not gonna get any better talking to people if you're just sitting on your couch.
Right.
You're not gonna get any better at dating if you never go on dates.
Right. Go on some dates. Yeah. Try it out and just like treat it like an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, this may be a terrible analogy, but when I was just starting out in my career, my mom said to me, she gave me great advice. She said, Laura, I want you to go on a job interview that you don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why? Why would I do that? And she said, because you need to get comfortable talking about yourself in front of people and presenting yourself. And I realized, I think that similar advice can apply. If you have not been in the dating arena in a while, or you're scared to date, just go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Go on a date and get you and with someone, you know, that you can talk to.
Right.
But not necessarily that you have huge expectations with.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah. Just go on a date. Go talk to them. Have a good time. Leave it at that. See what happens. Maybe something will happen. Maybe nothing will happen. But you're getting, you're building that muscle, that dating muscle. You, trust me, you're going to need it later on. Trust me. Why do you think I do Pilates? Okay.
It's a
you're going to need it. You're going to need it. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode. Head on over to iTunes and give us 5 stars. And we will talk to you next time.